Lord, to show us how to go on.
Amen.
In reality, Lord, we don't want to just have a bunch of knowledge. We're not here for procedures and instructions in this kind of an outward way. But Lord, reveal to us really what is on your heart.
Amen.
Thank you. You are the holy anointing.
Amen.
And you're the one teaching us all things.
Amen.
Bringing to remembrance what you have spoken to us.
Amen.
We pray that you would bring us more and more into the reality of preparing for your soon return.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's been good. I think it's good to be reminded, what is the burden of the conference, right? We talk about Christ expressed on this earth through the heavenly Jerusalem. Right? What is the heavenly Jerusalem? If you considered this, right? Last night, Mo reminded us, this is a holy city. It's the new Jerusalem. Right? And of course, today, practically, we speak a lot about the church. But we have to remind you again, the church is just a description of the gathering of the called out saints. Right? But today, we are also God's kingdom. We have to remember this. We are God's kingdom. Right? And within a kingdom, who rules in the kingdom?
The king.
The king. And today, who is our king?
Jesus Christ.
In reality? At 4 a.m. when your alarm goes off to go to work, who's the king?
Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Very good for a brother, 4 a.m. to go to work and to say, Jesus is my king. But how is it in our daily life today? Do we experience Christ as the reality, as our King? Right? I appreciated the word this morning. This has to be our reality. I know in Fountain Valley, we had two conferences in a row, one year end and the next year end, and we were in this burden concerning the King. How many of us pray, Jesus, our King? You know, I remember in those early days, we were taken to task and say, learn to pray to Jesus, our King.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who took that to task, to really pray, Jesus as our King, how did it make you feel? Or how did it make you think? It was a whole new perspective on experiencing the Lord as our King.
Yeah.
Right? We pray, Jesus our Savior, Jesus our Redeemer.
Yeah.
Right? We appreciate the Lord. And I'm not belittling the Lord as our Redeemer. But Jesus as our King. Even when you say, Lord Jesus, what does the word Lord mean to you? Oftentimes they always hear the brother saying, oh Lord, Lord. But is he really your Lord in your daily life? But I appreciate it. Not only do we have Christ as our King to follow his command, as the song said, but he is also our great high priest. Because he knows our weaknesses. He knows that we are still very short because we have this flesh, right? And this is why the Lord is also our great high priest. As the great high priest, he is also interceding for us. He's feeding us. He's nourishing us. He's ministering to us. And he is the one who will bring us all the way to the throne.
Amen.
So it's good. You need both Jesus as our King, and we definitely need Christ as the great high priest to bring us to the goal. Right? Then, is it easy to become a king? No, right? It requires what?
A lot of training.
A lot of training, right? It's already, as we said, Tim, or Tim's not here? He was here? Okay. Okay. But as we saw last night, it took 20 years for Tim to learn to reign over his room. Well, we laugh, but think about your house, your own house, right? How long did it take for all of us to learn to rule over your house? And I'm not just talking about that you have a clean house. And I'm not just talking about a house where the finances is in proper order. But I'm talking about a house that is under the reign of Christ. Right? This is training. That's why it's so good. The brothers shared this morning. We all need to learn Christ. To learn Christ. Why? Because as Ephesians chapter 4 said, what? What's wrong with us? We have this old man. And this old man, is it sitting idle? What is going on with this old man? Growing even more corrupt, right? It's quite a strong word, right? Right? If you go to chapter 4 of Ephesians, it says, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Just because you have been born again and just because you have been baptized doesn't mean that your old man stops growing. It's just like leaven. You put a little leaven into the bread, what happens to that bread? That leaven will grow. And it will continue to grow fast, right? Amir, you're a baker. Yes. So you know firsthand, it'll become a big mess. And can you imagine if we allow our old man to continue to grow, the more corrupt? It will not only corrupt yourself, but it will corrupt your family and it will corrupt the church. That's why we need to learn Christ, that our minds need to be renewed. The spirit of our mind has to be renewed and to put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness.
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, it's a training, so to say. It's a learning. You all learn to become human beings. Just the mere fact that you were born and you're growing up, we have all of you guys are in school, right? You're learning something, right, Isaiah? You're learning the way of being a man, trained properly by your parents and hopefully by your school. Right. Yeah, some schools are dangerous because they are teaching or brainwashing our children, unfortunately, in the ways of being even more corrupt. Right? But what about spiritually speaking? We have to realize it's wonderful to preach the gospel, to see so many receive Jesus Christ. It's wonderful, and we need that. We need to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. But after so many have been saved and baptized, then what? Then what? Have you considered? It's just like when James was first born, Mo and Tiff. After James was born, then what? You take him home and then do what? You have to nourish them, right? A lot of food, feeding, and then training him to grow up to be this young man who is about to go solo at the University of Toronto's apartments. It took how many years to get him to this point? 19 years? 18.
You were fast.
But think about this, right? So we have to really consider, with all of our gospel preaching, and we bring in new ones. You know, I heard so many who are, I've talked to so many who said, oh, I just got baptized a few months ago. Now what? Does it just stop there? I'm saved and I can go to heaven?
No, we didn't teach that.
Okay, good. You didn't teach them that, right? We have to realize salvation is just the beginning, and that's not where God wants to stop. If you notice, even Matthew 28 says, what? To preach the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth. It's the kingdom of heaven. That means this is God's kingdom. That means there has to be training. There has to be learning of Christ so they can grow to mature to become what? To be professional pew sitters. Okay, to be professional gospel preachers. Professional servants of God to do missionary work. What does the word say? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. Let's make this abundantly clear. Many of you who know me know often I love to speak about Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Let's read this together. And from Jesus Christ, faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests, his God, Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Is it clear? Clear to you all? Oftentimes, we love the second half of verse 5. To him who loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood. And then we stop. Because that's how we preach the gospel. We stop. We stop right there. We forget. There's a comma. And after the comma comes verse 6. And it says, it's made us kings and priests. To who? To his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Right? Now God, when he's making a point, he's often repetitious. So let's go on to Revelation chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. So what does chapter 5, verse 9 and 10 say? Let's read it together again.
And he sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scrolls and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.
Amen.
So, is it clear? Again, we love to stop at, you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. We always stop there. But what about verse 10? And has made us kings and priests to our God. And where are we going to reign?
On the earth.
On the earth.
Not in heaven.
Why is it today? So many people talk about when you die, you go to heaven. And when Jesus comes again, you go to heaven. And you'll live happily ever after with Jesus in heaven. Amir, does your Bible say heaven? No? Whose Bible here says heaven? Come on. Whose Bible says heaven? Then why do we always talk about going to heaven? Oh, there's a mansion in heaven. That's why. Many abodes in heaven. But where does it say here in Revelation? Because Revelation is the end of the Bible. It is God's concluding word. But new heaven, new earth to reign where? On the earth. Right? And if we go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, what does it say here? Blessed and holy is he who has first in the first resurrection. Over such death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So here, it not only tells us we will reign on this earth, but we will reign on the earth with Christ for 1,000 years. This is the coming millennial kingdom age. And this is the double inheritance that I spoke about last night, which says, if we are faithful to follow the Lord today and to be willing to be trained, we have this opportunity to reign together with Christ for 1,000 years on the earth. And then, to make it abundantly clear, let's go to Revelation chapter 22. Chapter 22 and verse 5. What does it say here?
There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
So, is it clear? Blessed? Are you clear? What is God's goal for you? To be a king and a priest. Don't forget that. Have the Lord write it on your forehead that you will be king and a priest with Christ to reign together with him, not only in the 1,000-year millennial kingdom, but together with him forever and ever. This is the kingdom, right? Today we love to talk about church, 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 church. But in Revelation, do you see the word church? Except for chapter 2 and 3.
Chapter 1.
And chapter 1, right?
Yeah.
The first three chapters, because it's still speaking about us today as the church. But when you get to Revelation 21 and 22, what do you see? It's this holy city, the heavenly Jerusalem. And it's coming down out of heaven, meaning it's heavenly. The source is from God above. And this first characteristics of the city is holy.
Amen.
This should be our view, brothers and sisters, for the church life today. And as our brother shared last night, it's not a social place. It's not just a place of meeting for good fellowship. This is God's kingdom. And if we have such a vision, such a view, then our attitude when we gather together should be different. Right? If you have an appointment with the Prime Minister here in Canada, and the appointment's at 10 o'clock, do you show up at 10:01? Some of you won't show up. Okay, I understand that. But
he's a good representative.
What about President Trump?
Okay. If you're going to have an important meeting with somebody important. Sorry for poor examples. But the point is, are you going to show up at 10:01?
For a job interview.
Okay, some of you have a job interview. The young people are looking for jobs. And your appointment's at 10 o'clock. What time will you show up for that interview?
9:45.
At least 9:45, right? Because you're preparing something important. Well, now you have a meeting with Jesus Christ as your king. And the great high priest. So, if you have a meeting with Jesus Christ at 10 o'clock, when will you show up?
Earlier, obviously.
I hope it's obvious to all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But this is a mindset change. This is why we need the spirit of our mind renewed. Right? We talk about learning Christ. Learning Christ means our minds need to be renewed. Our concept needs to change. That's why it's so good our brother spoke about learning Christ. And in learning Christ, that means there will be chastening and discipline to be corrected. Terrell, do you like to be corrected? No.
I used to not like it, but now I'm open to it.
Very good. I used to not like to be corrected, but now I do. Praise the Lord. There's a change in your mind. That's the renewing of the spirit of your mind. We do need to be disciplined, right? To become a king and a priest. I mean, James, you're becoming an electrical engineer. Was it easy your first year? Oh, but you said it was going to be a piece of cake last year when you told me that, right? But you said it wasn't going to be as hard as I described it, right? You didn't think it was going to be that hard.
No, I thought it was going to be
that hard. Oh, you did.
Slightly harder than I thought.
Slightly harder than you thought, but it was really hard, right? Okay. That means it was hard because you were trained, you were chastened, you were disciplined in so many ways, right? In ways you never thought you would have to be trained in. So now think about that. If that is difficult to become an electrical engineer, now think about becoming a king and a priest. So it's very good. You're now okay to be disciplined. That's a very important characteristic. If we want to be trained to be kings and priests, this is why this morning, this matter of learning Christ to be disciplined by God is so important. Because if we're not willing to be disciplined by God, we cannot be changed. Yes. You're not teachable. You're not coachable. Because our heart is hardened. And we're not willing to change. Then how can God, if your earthly manager cannot change you, how can God, who you don't see, change you? Yeah. Right? So it's good. Right? This is a very good foundation. Because now we're coming to this Roman numeral 4. It's this matter of how do we get perfected, right? Today we all realize we're short in every possible way you can think because we still have this flesh. But when we all were born of God, God's life was put into you. Amen. And this is the life within us that we need to learn to live. It needs to be perfected in us. And that's why tonight we want to fellowship a little bit. How does this life get perfected? Amen. Right? This life is perfected through the holy and royal priesthood. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's read verse 5. And verse 9. Okay, let's read it. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light.
Amen.
Peter gives us, in these two short verses, the crux of what it takes to be perfected, to be prepared for the Lord's coming. Right? Think about this. You know, ever since I saw this, the goal is to become kings and priests when I was young. Ninth grade, 14 years old. In my heart, I've always been asking, Lord, how do we reach this goal? To be kings and priests, to be first fruits. I don't know if you've ever asked this question. If Revelation tells you to become kings and priests, Do you ever ask the Lord, Lord, how do I reach that goal? To be kings and priests. We should be asking the Lord this. And Peter tells us in a very simple way. He's already telling us how to reach the goal. Right? For the kingship, of course, if you want to be someone who will rule together with Christ, what is the most fundamental thing you need to know if you're going to rule with Christ?
Be holy.
Okay, but to be holy? But we're talking about a kingdom. A kingdom has a set of the constitution. The heavenly constitution. Right? If you want to be the Prime Minister of Canada, you better hope he knows the Constitution of Canada. Not only knows the Constitution, but lives according to that Constitution. And so, do you know, blessed, what is the Constitution in God's heavenly kingdom? You don't need to answer. We need to ask this ourselves. In my desk, I have this little pocket U.S. Constitution. Every so often, I refer to it because someone will say something, and I have to think, is that Constitution or not? According to the Constitution, I'll pull it out and look at it. Because in school, you have to learn the U.S. Constitution.
We don't have to learn the Constitution.
Oh.
So we should probably explain that the Constitution is a basic foundational law of the country.
Right. It's what we call the law of the lands. It's the foundation of any country. In the United States, as a 7th, 8th grader, and at a 12th grade, you have to learn what is the law of the land of the United States. If you don't know the law of the land of the country you live in, when you grow up, you will commit many lawless acts in your country. And that is what's happening in my country today. They're trying to throw out the Constitution, the very foundation of the United States of America. And when you do that, what will you have? You have lawlessness. And this is what we're seeing today. Unfortunately, you are receiving news that are completely opposite to what's really going on in our country. What is wrong is now correct. What is good is considered evil, just like Isaiah prophesied. This is what happens to a country. If you remove the Constitution, you will have lawlessness. So now think about it. In God's kingdom, does God's kingdom have a constitution?
Yes.
Yes. And I hope we know this constitution. It's all written there in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. If you don't know about that, I encourage you, spend some time going through Matthew 5, 6, and 7 to know the Constitution. If you're going to rule and reign together with Christ, then you better know it. And then, as Vin says, live it. It's not just to know it, but you have to keep it. You have to do it. But because we are fallen, we still have this fleshly life in us. And the life of God within us has to be perfected. It has to grow. Then we need help. We need the Lord as our great high priest to come in to transform us, to change us and to perfect us. Right? This is why Peter says, as the living stones are being built up a spiritual house. I think everybody loves to talk about this. But the question is, what do you do inside of God's house? Is it just to hear a good message? Is it just to have good fellowship? What does Peter say that we should do in the house of God? There's a holy priesthood. You also a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Holy priesthood, huh? Have you ever considered what we should do in the house of God? Is it just to listen to a message that the brothers give and then go home and do nothing? No. Peter says here, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Right? This is a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So the matter of the priesthood then becomes important. And for me, when we started to speak about the burden concerning the priesthood, the Lord answered my prayer. How do you become a priest? And we're not talking about Roman Catholicism priests where they wear these little white squares under their neck and dress funny and do so-called kinds of strange chants. No, that's not the priesthood that we're talking about. But we're speaking about the priesthood according to God's word. Right, tonight, we've had enough conferences on the priesthood, but what I do want to remind you, it is through the priesthood that we can be perfected. Right? It is through the priesthood. Right? And it does take training and practice. Right? So in the outline, we have this phrase here, training and practice. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, Vince, if you can read that for us, please. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8.
If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed.
Right.
But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness.
Right.
For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things.
Right.
Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come.
Amen. That's good. So, exercise yourselves toward godliness. That means it's a practice. It's a training. The priesthood today, brothers and sisters, is God's way to train us and to practice and to exercise towards godliness, to be perfected. You have to realize to live Christ doesn't instantly come automatically when you're first saved and baptized. It takes practice. It takes exercise to do this. It's kind of like Ivanka is learning how to play the piano, right? And how did it begin? Could she play Beethoven's Ninth Symphony in day one? No. What does she have to do?
Practice.
Exactly. First, the simple steps, and then more complex. Do the scales, the chords, eventually learn songs, and then you grow from there. And to the point where the fingers move automatically. Eventually, she'll be able to play like James. Play by ear, play by reading music, whatever he wants, his finger just automatically plays it. Right? Do you have to think, oh, I got to put my thumb on middle C? No. It just comes automatically because of the practice. Right? Do you, when you're doing your calculus, you have to think, okay, what's 1 plus 1? You do? I hope not. It should come automatically. Through training, it should come automatically. Right? So, now think about it. If it requires practice for us to learn the earthly things, then it also requires practice for us to train in the priesthood. Right? If you don't know about the priesthood, I would encourage you, ask the brothers and sisters here in Toronto, what is the priesthood? And I'm assuming I've already heard enough from different saints I've spoken to is, it seems like you already are hearing about the priesthood. So praise the Lord. Practice and train in it. Because it is through the priesthood that Christ can transform you and perfect you. If we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all with unveiled face beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Unveiled face, meaning there's no veils on your heart. To be poor in spirit, ready to receive as a blank sheet for the Lord to write on you. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Do we see the Lord, right? This morning it says, look away unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Do we behold the Lord in such a way every day, right? And if we are, then we will be transformed into the same image, amen, from glory to glory. Amen. This afternoon, Christian was saying, every time he sees my daughter there in Germany, what did you say? He feel like...
See you.
She see, every time my daughter talks to him and things like, he sees me in my daughter. Yeah. Well, that's... Well, what does that show you? It should show you that if we behold the Lord day in and day out, we will also be transformed into the same image as our Lord. That is the only way to reach this goal of becoming king and a priest. Right? When you go back to Hebrews chapter 12, which was also brought up yesterday, verse 2, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Vince, what does it say again?
Hebrews 12:2.
Yeah.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Right.
Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame,
and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
Amen. So we always stop here. Who for the joy, we forgot about the joy, was set before him, endured the cross. That's all we always remember. Endured the cross, despising the shame. Right? We always stop there. Yeah. But did it stop there? Did the Lord's journey stop at the cross? No. It says, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Don't forget this phrase, because the Lord did all of this not for himself, but he did it for you and me. Mm-hmm. He despised the shame. He bore the cross, endured the cross, and he reached the throne as a man, not as God, but as a man, which means we all have this possibility to reach this goal. That's why we have to look at him. We have to behold him. Amen. Because if we look at him and we behold him, then that will eventually bring us all the way. He will bring us all the way to the throne.
Amen.
So if we see this, then how do I say? I like to use this word, quantify. How do we know? How do we measure ourselves to getting closer and closer to that goal? Growing up, I always heard, gain Christ. But what does that really mean? And this is where the spiritual sacrifices comes into play. How many of us want to be obedient to Christ? Right?
Amen.
And 100% of the time, right? Yes?
That's what we're learning, yeah?
That's what we're learning, right? And ultimately, we want to be one with God our Father. Right? Who wants to be one with God our Father?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, guess what? Christ is the only one who is not only obedient to the Father, 100%, but he is one with the Father. But did you realize that he is then the reality of the burnt offering? The burnt offering is the offering where everything gets burnt on the altar. The entire sacrifice is burnt on the altar. So we also need to realize, if we want to reach this goal, amen, then we need Christ as our burnt offering. Amen. Right? Of course, there are many sizes of burnt offering. Right? Mm-hmm. There's the turtle doves, all the way up to this the ox. Right? Now today, maybe you're a new believer, newly baptized, and your experience of the burnt offering, this oftentimes happens in Fountain Valley, is their first offering or their first sacrifice, spiritual sacrifice, is I experienced Christ as the burnt offering because I obeyed his command to be baptized. That first step of being baptized, already you're beginning to obey the Lord, to be baptized. And maybe it grows, obeying the Lord to get into the Word, to read his Word. And it grows more as you grow. I learn to experience to obey the Lord while I'm on the job, making time so I can make it to the meeting, triaging my time management so I can have the church life first while I'm in my grueling double E program. You know, when I was your age, I had no vocabulary of the burnt offering. But my experiences, and when I look back, I realize this is learning to take Christ as my burnt offering. To set first his kingdom. Even in the midst of my busy college degree. It's to be obedient to the Lord, to manage my time. To prioritize my time for the Lord's work, the church life. And as we continue to learn obedience to the Lord in this way, eventually we will be like the Lord, to be obedient in 100% and to be one with him. Amen. But this burnt offering gives you a direction. It points you to, okay, I want to be like Christ, who is one with the Father, obedient to the Father. Okay, now you have the desire to do the work of the Father. Then how do you go about doing it? How do you go about doing the Father's will? With your good ideas? With your polite way of talking to people? Yes, we have to deny ourselves, but deny ourselves for what?
To follow Jesus.
Okay, but to follow Jesus is still a little nebulous.
To be a priest and king.
Right? To be a priest and a king, but what kind of a priest and king? In our it comes down to our humanity. How do we live our lives? How do you live your life? You want to accomplish the Father's will, but then you have all these good ideas that you want to do in the church life, but is according to his perfect humanity. Right? Now it becomes very practical. All these things, right? And it starts while you're young.
Amen.
When did Jesus learn to obey God the Father? The first recording about Jesus obeying God his Father. How old was he?
12.
Huh? 12. How do you know? Where? It's written, yes. Where is it written? Luke chapter 2. Okay, Luke chapter 2. Who's 12 years old? No, amongst us here. Who's... Luke chapter 2. Okay, I don't think any 12-year-olds are here. It's okay.
Yeah, downstairs.
Downstairs, right? Right? So the Lord is 12 years old, right? I find this story quite significant because it shows us a couple of things. It shows us how the Lord is beginning to be the reality of both the burnt and the meal offering, right? Right? So the family of Jesus was leaving Jerusalem and they discovered that Jesus was not with them. Then they had to go back. It took a few days. Then they had to go back. So Jesus is missing from the parents and the family life for almost a week, right? And they went back, and when they finally found him in the temple teaching, what did the Lord say? Verse 49.
seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?
Wow. 12 years old. And he was already about my father's business. Not his human father, but his heavenly father. Is that our mindset? To be about the father's business, right? Okay, but then later on, it also goes on to verse 51. Then he went down from them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. Right? So Jesus was not only obedient to the Father, but he what? Subjected himself to his parents, his earthly parents. Right? So he's learning obedience at a young age, at 12, to obey his parents and also to obey his heavenly Father. So it begins in our young years. Right? This is his obedience. And also, it's his humanity. Right? I'm sure he had to learn to be accountable to his parents. How many of you young people like to be accountable to your parents? Someone's shaking your head. No. Do you always let your parents know where you're going to go? Some are shaking their head. No. Right? We don't like to be accountable to anybody. But it was also shared this morning. Nothing can hide from God our Father. Do we want to be accountable to Him? Right? This is really practical, brothers and sisters. Christ, as the reality of the burnt offering, is so important. And Christ in His meal offering for His perfect humanity. Think about this. Everybody's impressed with Jesus feeding the 5,000, right? What did he have at his disposal to feed 5,000?
5 loaves and 2 small fish.
2 small fish. Everybody's impressed with feeding 5,000. So after they fed 5,000, what did Jesus instruct the disciples to do?
Gather up the fragments and put them in baskets.
To clean up. To gather up. They're at a park. How many of us, after we eat the park, goes around, pick up your crumbs and put it in a trash can? Or is your attitude is, the birds will eat it. But the Lord instructed them to clean up. Right? You know, it seems like there's a practice when you walk into a house, we always take our shoes off, right? Yeah. Why? So we don't track in dirt into the house. But in those days, if you go into a house, what has to happen? Who took the lead to wash the feet?
Jesus.
Yeah. He takes care of the little details in this way. And then when he was about to ascend to the throne, he had all this grave clothes on. What did he do? He folded them, right? Or did he just throw it aside and it's a big mess in the corner? No, he folded it up. Now, how many of us wake up in the morning and fold your PJs nicely and then go to school? You laugh. But these are little things that we should realize. If we really mean business to serve the Lord as kings and priests, then we need His perfect humanity. These are just simple, basic things. But if we don't learn to take care of the basic things of life together with the Lord, how will the Lord give us responsibility to the keys of the kingdom? That's why the meal offering is so important. To know the perfect, not just to know, but to learn to live this perfect humanity of Christ through Him. The peace offering, to be fully reconciled to God and to man. Right? And in the family life, how is it between the husbands and the wives? It's a real test. Are we fully reconciled with one another? But before you can be reconciled with your your spouse, you need to be reconciled with God. But if we're reconciled to God, then how can we not be reconciled with our spouse? And how about with our children? Parents, loving the children, disciplining the children, and then the children also obeying the parents. Is there peace? Is there real peace there? Right? I hope you can begin to see how practical to know the offerings, to know Christ as the reality of all the offerings, right? This is not a conference about the offerings. I'm just trying to remind you, this is how we can be perfected to become qualified to become kings and priests, right? And after the peace offering is a sin offering. How do you overcome continuous sin? It's interesting. This is a question that I got asked quite a number of times this last 2 months. Brothers and sisters, young brothers and sisters, they recognize, I don't want to make the same mistake over and over again. I know if I lie, I need to repent and turn to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, but I don't want to keep doing that. How do I overcome my flesh? This is where Christ, as the sin offering, comes in. He's overcome the flesh. And if we don't want to have this repeating sin over and over again, then we have to learn to take Christ as our sin offering. Remember, the sin offering deals with the root of sin. But if we do make that mistake, then we have the trespass offering to confess our sins. Right? So a lot of this is already in the outline. I'm just highlighting some things that we should spend time to pay attention to. Because if we do, this is how the Lord will perfect us. This is God's wisdom. The priesthood is not a method. It's a living. Because, as I wrote down in the outline here, how do we get trained? It's by the holy anointing in our daily life. And especially with the saints in the church life. Right, in 1 John, you all know this verse. The holy anointing lives in us, dwells in us, and he teaches us all things. Yes. And last night we already talked about John 14, verse 26. Yeah. Right, the helper, he will bring to remembrance what he spoke to us. Yeah. This is why when Vince read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 spoke about being nourished in the words. Yeah. Means if we don't have the word dwelling richly in our heart, how can the holy anointing remind you and prompt you to turn? Right? But these are the Lord. This is why the Lord is the great high priest. It is him as the holy anointing that trains us in this way. Because the goal is that we would ultimately live Christ. Living Christ means the obedience, the oneness with the Father, the perfect humanity, having peace with God and man, overcoming sin, this should become eventually automatic in your living. Just like playing the piano, it becomes automatic in the fingers of the pianist. And if we are willing to put the time in to be exercised, to practice, experiencing Christ as all of the offerings, then you will begin to automatically be one with the Father. Automatically do things with his perfect humanity. And automatically be reconciled to God to overcome the flesh. Right? But this requires us to practice. The problem is we're so used to living in our natural man. That's automatic, right? Our natural man is always automatic.
Without exercise.
Without exercise, right? Right? It's like if you exercise, let's say some of you exercise at the gym, right? And if you haven't exercised for a while and you go exercising for the first time, how do your muscles feel?
Very sore.
Very sore. Right? Emmanuel's laughing. Yeah, it's really sore when I'm haven't done exercise. Well, guess what? It's the same. If we have not yet exercised putting the priestly service into practice in our daily life, then yeah, you might feel a little muscle fatigue. But as you exercise more and more, it will become more and more automatic. Because the goal is that we would learn to live Christ. Amen. This is the key. And how do we know? How do we measure ourselves? Now, the spiritual sacrifice has already given a way to measure us. But it's very good. God is very wise in having us practice the priesthood. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23. Vince, if you can read that again.
But you have come to Mount Zion.
Right.
And to the city of the living God.
Right.
The heavenly Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. To an innumerable company of angels.
Praise the Lord.
To the festal gathering and church of the firstborn, amen, who are registered in heaven.
Amen. Right.
To God, the judge of all. And to the spirit of just men made perfect.
Praise the Lord. So here, today we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is today, us. We're gathering together. To do what? A festal gathering. Right? The Lord's table meeting is a festal gathering. And this is the time where we all, as faithful priests, come to bring food to our God. Right? If you go back into Leviticus, it does say these offerings is food to God our Father. We've talked about this in the past. Do you want to serve God the best food, Ronnie?
Absolutely.
I think we all have the desire to bring God the best food.
Amen.
And I hope tomorrow evening, when we have the feast meeting, we will come with our hands filled. Because God desires this food, His food. This is the function of this holy priesthood, is that we would bring God His food. But it is also God's wisdom to show us the progress that we have made in growing and being perfected in Him. That's why in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it goes back again, where it speaks about make your progress known. Right? If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, it says, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Right? This is a way for us to know where we are on this highway of holiness in reaching the goal. Right? So this is God's wisdom in perfecting us. Right? Again, we've had quite a number of conferences regarding the priesthood, so if you've missed those, I would encourage you to ask more questions about the priesthood. But for those of us who have heard, we want to encourage one another. Practice the priesthood, because this is how God will perfect us all, to mature, to become first fruits, and then to be qualified to become kings and priests. Right? And this requires practice. It requires training. And if we are faithful to follow the Lord in such a way, then we will live Christ automatically. And then we will be qualified to rule together with Christ as kings and priests. Right? So may the Lord really open our eyes in this way. Praise the Lord. Amen.